All right, weird day in the country, weird weekend in the country, weird weekend to be talking on a sports network about some uncomfortable stuff. But let's get started with Dominique Foxworth and Bomani Jones. All right, guys, help me out here. This weekend for me, I'm 51 years old, and I've never felt quite the weight of what something felt like, where I was depressed, hurt, angry, saddened, embarrassed for my country, not recognizing my country, even as you guys might say, no, we kind of recognize parts of this country. And so I ask you, Bomani, first, like, what do you do with what this weekend was? Because it was heartbreaking to me, but I was surprised when we were talking on the radio that there was almost hope in it for you.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, though, I didn't do a lot of consuming of the images that came out of this from the weekend, because honestly, I mean, even if I didn't know the particulars, I felt like I knew what it was that was going on. We saw this happen 6 years ago, surrounded after Mike Brown got killed in Ferguson. Like, to me, this is not new. The new part is it's some different people at the party. Little bit surprising to see. And I do think that to a degree it is encouraging. I mean, look, man. Dale Murphy, my favorite baseball player growing up, stoic Dale Murphy, put out a link. I mean, was tweeting out links for you to donate to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, to the bail funds, to Black Lives Matter. Like this is different. It's a confluence of circumstances that bring that man into that place. I understand, but that's something that you never would have expected before. And so for me, I am struck and somewhat curious about why this is the one that has brought so many people together. But this is a different kind of coalition. Some of the people who are normally inflammatory in times like these have chosen to stand down or actually come down in some way on the side of right on this. So maybe this is something that leads to some level of positive change, because for whatever reason, it took this one for some people to get it. And damn it, they seem to get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still can't figure out why this one is different. And maybe it's in part because we're all stuck in our houses and we've had, like, in rapid succession, we had three kind of egregious incidences, but I can't figure out why. And that's why I'm having a hard time being as optimistic. I'm not going to lie and say that I wasn't encouraged by Tom Brady's post, and I wasn't encouraged. I obviously was encouraged by that. I was encouraged by Carson Wentz. I was encouraged by all these white players that are coming out and saying things, not just players, but companies and leaders of industry. Like, it's encouraging, but I still am left with, once we get off quarantine and once we move on to something else, when there's actually something on the table to take action on, there's some legislation, there's an election, there's some funds that need to be raised to affect some sort of change, I hope that they're still there then. That's my question, and I can't say that I feel confidently that they will be.
Well, this is my question, really. Are these same white people going to stick around after we're not just so happy that they showed up in the first place? Because right now you can win some real bonus points just by showing up. It's a deviation from what has been done before. Just saying that you're down, it'll go a long way, except the value on that is now starting to go down, because just about everybody's doing it. And you'll notice that people are still being fairly careful in the way that they talk about these things. But in the end, a lot of these people who are showing up, thank you for coming, but there's a good chance that they're also complicit in some of the behaviors that have gotten us to this point. What typically is the holdup on these matters is, are those people going to have the temerity and stand and not just simply face like what they've seen in their society? Are you willing to face some of the things that you might do? Are you willing to face like some of the things that you see around you and that you ultimately let slide? And can you listen to that without being defensive? Because I think you can look at that video, and for a lot of people, it becomes easy because you have never leaned on somebody for 9 minutes until they died. You can otherize that. You can put that off. But when the discussion comes close enough to your house, to your kitchen, where that fastball is coming close to your jersey, are you going to be able to stand in the box? And the way to get it done is going to require some people to do that. And that's what I'm hoping for. But that's the part that hasn't been tested yet.
Have you been getting a lot of emails and texts and white people reaching out asking what they can do? Because I have. And like, I have things that I say. But like,
but wait a minute. I don't think we've
done exactly what to tell them.
I don't think we've done nearly enough with the idea of what Bomani as an Atlanta guy just said. As complicated as Atlanta is, that Dale Murphy, that specific name is in the middle of the mix. Like,
yeah.
Dale Murphy, you can make the argument, is the whitest person in the history of the entire sport. And he was a star in Atlanta in a way that was unreasonable.
And I feel like, by the way, if we need to heal these streets, all these people on the internet breaking bad with Murph, we could form like Voltron to shut that down. Like, at least for people my age, I feel like Dale Murphy's the one thing we can all get around. Y'all can pack y'all stuff and move as far out the city as y'all want, but we come together when it comes to Murphy, right? I don't even feel like Hank Aaron could pull them together in that same way. He was out here threatening people. Murphy, who doesn't like Murphy?
Lenny Dykstra
got on the internet today and started Breaking Bad with Murphy, and I sent that link to Mina Kimes because they got to rename that damn dog.
Help me here, Dominique, okay? I'm the child of exiles. What I see in every crevice is, wait a minute, those are freedom infringements. When I'm looking at what looks like state militia marching through what otherwise looks like a tranquil residential neighborhood, and then you hear the voice, light them up, light them up. And what the video that Bomani isn't seeing because he's staying away from this is people running inside as rubber bullets bounce around. Like, that frightens me as someone who loves freedom. Never mind this country or how you guys view it differently than I do it, right? Because that flag doesn't say the same thing to me that it does to you. That is alarming. Like a state militia running through the streets. It's what communism and Cuba would look like. That story told by my parents and grandparents, because I don't have any access to it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I can add anything to that. Like, yes, you're right. It's scary. And I think the problem is, for far too long, it's meant that that group has been able to restore the status quo. And I think that's what concerns me more than anything, is in order to restore the status quo, if some people get tread upon in that process, it's okay as long as it's not you, or as long as it's not your friends, or as long as it's not your family. Everyone's all up in arms now. Everyone's bothered about these videos now. But when things return to normal, when we're allowed back out of our houses regularly, and when there are no more rioting in the streets, no one's looting, other people don't feel any danger. They don't feel unsafe. They don't feel like the streets belong to someone else. When things feel like they used to feel, are these people who are so willing to tweet now and so willing to have these epiphanies about righteous things and justice in America, what are they going to do now when they no longer have to be confronted with this pain and all they have is our stories? What are they going to do when we say it's still happening? What are they going to do when we say, you remember what happened to George Floyd? It's still happening now. I don't have video, but I'm telling you to believe me. What are they going to do? Are they going to believe that? Are they going to act? I would guess not. And that's what scares me about this, which is why I feel like this is a moment. It's why I've been aggressive and outspoken about expecting more from people, because I think we can expect more from them now. We won't be able to expect more from them later. We won't be able to pressure them to do things later, because it'd be far too easy for them to understand or convince themselves that that was a moment in time and we no longer live that way.
Coming up next on my son Stevie show.
The worst thing in this for him is he's being exposed as being the opposite of powerful, because they can't even say something right now when the morality is transparent and clear.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Dominique, help me with what your reaction was to the NFL's statement. Like, the idea that after 3 years of making a totally different kind of statement that was obvious to everybody, that we arrive in a place where that league is first to the public relations after being 3 years late to just the relations. Like, how offensive did you find the league with that statement rushing to get in there now, 3 years after literally blackballing Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, I think the point that I want to make here is the same point that I always make when these type of things come up. It's the same point I make when we talk about coaches or GMs of color, is that the NFL is not one thing. It's a lot of people. And I think there are people in the league office specifically that are trying to push for some change and probably feel that the statement they put out was not strong enough. But I do think the people with the most power, that is the team owners, do not feel that the statement was not powerful enough. And their interests and incentives lie with getting back to that order, no matter who is subjugated in the process. Like, if you are a king, essentially, is how many of these team owners live, why would you want to change that system? That's not how systems get changed. So why would you want to jeopardize this cash cow that you have in the NFL by potentially putting your organization, your team, your league on the side of an issue that might lead sponsors to go away or might lead fans to turn against you? They don't need that. They don't care about that. They don't care to protect the people who are being disenfranchised necessarily. So I think there probably are plenty of people in the NFL who want to do right, but I think the power is not going to allow it to happen.
So the thing for the NFL is you can't really make a worthwhile statement about race without rolling the dice on offending some white people. And the NFL's strategy for everything is do not offend the white people, right? Like, the whole thing about Kaepernick is I'm sure some people have a strident principled argument against keeping Kaepernick out, but they seem to legitimately believe, this is what that Joe Lockhart piece was saying, they believe that he was going to offend the white people. So how are you supposed to talk about this when your number one goal is we're not going to offend any white people? They are not very well equipped to talk about these things if that's going to wind up being their mantra. But at the same time, they got things within their own house that they can easily clean up and that they can easily correct. And Roger Goodell, hey, man, if you're going to make all this money, how much more of their money do you need? I know from all the people I've talked to, Roger's a guy that wants Colin Kaepernick to be back in the league. Roger's a guy that would like to see coaching, hiring, and things like that look better. But what you going to do to make this happen? And if you can't make this happen, at some point, when does your dignity kick in? And you got to decide that you're going to stand for you if your legacy is something that matters to you. And it does matter to him. This could be a chance for him, because all you've got to say is, police brutality is really bad. Like, people ain't even asking for that much out of the dude. He can stand and do that if he's got any sort of power at all being the commissioner. And I feel like the worst thing in this for him is he's being exposed as being the opposite of powerful, because they can't even say something right now when the morality is transparent and clear.
Well, Monty, Goodell exists in my mind to collect a lot of money and just take all the bullets as PR for the owners. What do you want him to do in this instance when he's not the guy that's got any real power? They're the ones who are keeping him out of the league, because if he wanted Colin Kaepernick in the league, as you say, from everyone you've talked to, obviously his desires mean next to nothing. That ain't real power.
Yeah, no, he can't get Kaepernick back into the league. But when a statement like this comes out, if he wants, he can stand up and say, no, this is going to be something that's stronger. I mean, what are they going to do? Fire him? Like, ultimately, what are they going to do? They're going to bring a new commissioner in there tomorrow with all of this going on? No, like, if he really stands and cares about these things, and again, I think that he does, he's got more flex in this than he realizes. It's just a matter of whether he's going to put it to the test.
Yeah, being a human shield is a choice. Like, you have to stand there and be a shield. He can choose to step out the way. He's made enough money, as you mentioned, to be fine. If they do have the gumption to fire him, all he has to do is step out of the way and say, this is not something I believe in. The situation with black coaches is not something that I'm comfortable with. I'm doing everything I can to change it, but these people are standing in my way. The situation with the statement we put out is not something that I condone. I would like to be more aggressive. However, the owners will not let me. And name names. Like, I understand that maybe that's a little bit too scary for people, but if he wants to impact his legacy, that's something that he has a choice to do. He can't continue. I think none of us, frankly, can continue to just blame other people and pretend that we're powerless.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, we do too. So as America starts opening back up for business, and as more of us start getting back out there again, we'll be in big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between, doing what we've always done to help keep our local communities moving forward. So whether you stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, Auto Care Center, or visit us at Napa Online, you can count on Napa Know-How.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Lexus. Experience amazing. What do you make of what J.R. Smith did this weekend?
Ah, the part of the show where we're allowed to laugh after making 20 minutes of very serious societal points about everything going on in the world of not really sports, but we're going to pretend it's sports now because some athletes have gathered around it. J.R. Smith, we can laugh always at J.R. Smith, right, Bomani?
Oh, yes. J.R. Smith was minding his own business because stories like this always start with, I was minding my own business. He comes outside and apparently he sees somebody doing damage to his automobile. TMZ found out they got the video footage. And J.R. Smith did what basically everybody else does when they think their car is being broken into. He turned into the Hulk, and he went up, and he smashed that dude. And I'm here to tell you, as someone who has seen somebody he thought was breaking into his car, that is the ultimate performance-enhancing drug. That is spinach for Popeye. Everything in my body just turned swole. And I went up there, and that man looked so scared when I walked up. I normally would have thought that was racism. Incorrect in this case, I look like fury, because I wish you would try to break in my car. Since things are outside, and JR got people trying to break into his car, dude, lucky it wasn't worse.
I thought we were going to get more laughs out of this. This turned really personal. I hope that there's some video somewhere of Bomani Jones turning Hulk on somebody. That's what I want to see. I don't care about J.R. Smith anymore. I want to see Bo come down on somebody.
I'm just asking you right now. Let you look out the window and see somebody break in your car. What's happening next?
Oh yeah, we're gonna have some furniture moving. There will be some paws put on people. So what do you say? What just comes out of your mouth in that moment? That's what I want to know. Like, what does Bomani Jones say in that moment? Can it be said on TV?
I said, I walked up and I said, excuse me. And I had a gold Camry at the time. It was like 02 and I had a 96 Camry like everybody else did. Right. And so the dude just got to the wrong car and he was just like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. But I was sitting at Chick-fil-A with my friend and I'm looking at her and she's talking. And in the middle of her talking, I went. And I just got up and left. No words, no nothing. This is not my personality. This is not who I am. You not going to break into my car.
So the guy wasn't even breaking in. He just thought it was his car.
He was trying to enter a vehicle that did not belong to him.
Well, I'm happy that you said excuse me first because it could have been bad. I feel like me and JR are swing first type of guys.
He was so shook. He was so shook. I mean, granted, he wasn't trying to vandalize it. Like, JR, it wasn't no excuse me with JR. See the dude trying to break the glass. Like, Dan could see somebody trying to break into his car. He the nicest dude in the world. Dan will come out there and 15 seconds left. It'll be swinging and crying. And stay away from my car.